When it comes to tools, I am the stereotypical man, and I love tools. I remember that show from the 90s, Tool Time. Oh, yeah. I'm a grunter. Some people say that the ability to use tools is what sets us apart from the rest of the animal kingdom. Take this hammer, for example. This is my backup hammer. Yes, I have two hammers, two knives, two flashlights, two tape measures, lots of extra stuff because I'll forget one. But this hammer, for example, it can be used for building, demolishing, knocking things into place, or straightening out something that was bent. And we have all kinds of tools, hand tools, power tools, carpentry tools, mechanic tools, and even special surgical tools that work on our delicate bodies. Don't you find it amazing that this little snake can go right up through your thigh and end up by your heart and put a stent? And I mean, that just amazes me. We have tools designed to work in extreme conditions, such as deep underwater expeditions, tools that roam the surface of Mars, tools, tools, and tools. Ah. Now, before some of you ladies tune out, before you get into a tizzy about any grunting or displays of manhood, let us not forget the tools that you use every day. Hairbrushes, makeup brushes, eyelash curlers, nail files, and many more that made it possible for you to venture out today. And some of us, we love our electronic tools. They can be for fun and entertainment, but don't we find our cell phones today to be very useful tools? They are flashlights. And I like to want to call my math teacher up and say, yes, we do have calculators we carry around with us every day. Cameras, they're day planners, they're alarm clocks, and so much more. And when it comes to our most important tools, we certainly have brands that we trust, don't we? Over time, I have learned that a cheap skill brand saw just doesn't hold up like a DeWalt does. A cheap wrench from the dollar store is no match for the lifetime guarantee and quality offered by the Channel Lock brand. So no matter what kind of tool you plan to buy, you invest in trusted brands. You have faith in that brand to consistently deliver quality and performance time and time again. You know when you buy that brand, you'll get what you expect. And in this sermon series we are starting today, we are going to focus on some of the tools that God has given us to improve our lives. And I'm quite sure that you've heard of these tools before. Some of you have probably used these tools a time or two in your life. But for the most part, these godly tools are often underutilized or maybe even sitting on the shelf of life collecting dust. And I have to ask, why? Why don't we use these tools that God gave us? They are tools that make us better Christians, tools that make us closer to God, tools that when we use collectively can help build our church up. The world doesn't want us to use God's brand of tools. The world tells us that God's tools are outdated, that God's tools are primitive. Some would even go as far to say that God's tools are based on a hokey, fictitious religion based on borrowed principles of other religions that man made up. Much of the world believes it is more enlightened and that they have a better brand of tools. The world's ways are based on self-reliance and instant results. the world's way so that any standard is acceptable as long as the individual is happy. And I will admit that using the world's brand of tools for life can be more appealing, and it requires less discipline. But unfortunately, the world's tools only produce cheap, short-term results. Remember when you could actually go out and find things that seemed to last for a long time? Things that were hand-built with care? Things that were built with craftsmanship and pride? We have become a disposable society, and we don't care how long things last. We just want it to be shiny and new. And if it breaks in a year, we don't care because we want the newer, shinier thing anyways. I mean, think about it. From 1970 to 1990, maybe even longer, most of you had the same old wall phone hanging in your kitchen. The same phone that the cord wrapped and twisted in some kind of weird, freaky knot that you didn't know what to do with except for hold the phone out and just let it spin to unwind. But that one phone lasted decades, didn't it? And now people can't hold on to a cell phone for more than a year because the next one has three cameras or a bigger screen. And as I said before, the world's tools may seem shiny and flashy, but they only produce short-term happiness. Ever notice that if something is guaranteed for life, that it comes with all kinds of limitations and exclusions? Lawyers spend countless hours developing all the fine print that pretty much makes the lifetime warranty not so lifetime. Did you know the definition of a lifetime is the lifetime of the product, not your lifetime? Well, God's tools are different. When properly used, God's tools can be very effective in your life and in the life of others around you. God's tools bring real peace, real comfort, and real strength. But here's the real difference. God's tools come with more than a lifetime guarantee. God's tools come with an eternal life guarantee. But what good is it to talk to you about godly tools and their effectiveness if you first don't have faith in His brand? Now, there is no doubt in my mind that God makes the best tools in the world. They have been proven to be successful. They have been proven to be reliable. And in fact, there is no match on earth to the tools that God has given us. Yet we continue to live our lives without using them, even though we have this eternal life guarantee. But in order to get this guarantee, we must have faith. Now, testimonials are a good way to sell a product, aren't they? To build brand identity, to develop faith in a product. You trust things that people recommend, right? That's why we have spokespersons, celebrity spokespersons. Oh, well, if that person says it's good, it must be good, right? Or if you do like I do, you read through all the reviews when you go to buy something. Oh, this person said it doesn't last 2 months. But you see, our Bible is a record of the testimonials about faith in God. Earlier, Carla read a passage from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book that really sells us to have faith in the right brands, in Jesus and in God. And the writer starts out like this in chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, if you've ever built a house, you likely have an idea of what you want. And if you did your homework, you visited model homes, the contractor has blueprints and plans to show you what the house will look like and the standards by which it will be built. It doesn't take a lot of faith in a reputable builder for him to build that house according to the plans that you approved. You know what the outcome is supposed to be. But what if you never got to see the plans? What if you never got to see a model home that the builder had done? Wouldn't it take a lot of faith to get what you hoped for? To have assurance in something you had not seen? But that's the way it is with God. God will ask us to do things by faith. God will reveal what He wants us to do now, but we usually don't get full details of the whole plan. Just a promise from God that in the end, everything will work out according to His plan. Out of pure faith, He wants us to be obedient, to take our tools, and for us to go where He leads us. And in Hebrews tells us in verse 2 that throughout history, this is exactly what people had done. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. The author of Hebrews says that these people lived by faith, and as a result, God did great things. And first, our faith starts with faith in creation. The Word of God says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. There's a lot of people that want to argue this. But it's not by science we understand how the universe was formed. It's not by philosophy or theory that we understand how the universe was formed. It is by what? It is by faith we understand how the universe was formed. Our family was on a hike on New Year's Day. And we're walking up and down the hills and valleys and ravines. And the boys were arguing, well, was this formed by a glacier? Or was this formed by a volcanic eruption? Was this formed? And I said, no. It was formed by God's command. I read an article this week about an astronomy professor who they partnered with a special needs school to allow people with special needs to attend and audit college courses. And one boy had Down syndrome and another boy had a severe case of autism. And all throughout the class, the boy with autism would be, wait a minute, I don't understand how this. I don't understand why are there so many planets and so many stars and why is the universe so big? And God only made one planet with life. He says it doesn't make sense. And then at the end of the class, everybody had to give a presentation. And the young man said, I think I get it now. God made us the universe so big for us to understand that He is big. He made things that we didn't understand so we would know that God is beyond our understanding. And we need to have faith that the Word of God said that the universe was formed by His command. See, for this faith in God thing to work, we must have faith from the beginning that God is who He says He is. Faith that God did create this world. We may not understand if it's 6 days or 6,000 years. We may not understand how it happened. But have faith that God did create this world. Faith that God has power over this world. And faith that in the end, God's full plan for this world will be fulfilled. We have to have faith that along the way that God will use us as a part of his plan. We may not know or understand what God has called us to do, but God has called us to faithfully go and use our tools, and we must have faith that the rest will fall into place. I remember when I first started working professionally as a contractor, as a carpenter. Now, I was a pretty handy guy, and I did a lot of pretty neat things. I built a pirate ship in our backyard with working water cannons. I thought I knew a lot. But my boss showed me how to use some tools correctly. My boss taught me how to do things I didn't know how to do before. And sometimes he had me do things that I didn't understand. This seems stupid. Why am I doing this? But when the project was finished, I then went, ah, I get it now. I understand why this blocking is here. I understand why we put this here. It makes sense. And you see, the writer of the book of Hebrews really wants us to buy into God's brand. And to do this, he gives us a huge list of testimonials of people who had faith in God. And in this whole, just one passage, he writes, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith even Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith the parents of Moses, by faith Moses, by the faith of Joshua, the walls of Jericho fell, by the faith of the prostitute Rahab. And for each of these people, the writer lists what they accomplished. He said, look at all these people. Here's a record in the Bible of all these faithful people who did what God said. And look what happened. Great things happen when we listen to God, when we follow God. And I love this next line from the writers of Hebrews in verse 32. After going through this whole big list, and he says, what more shall I say? And this is the first, but wait, there's more. You ever watch that guy? I got a deal for you. This thing does some good things, but wait, there's more. The writer says, if the faith of all those I mentioned before isn't enough, just wait. There's more. And he continues on. He says, I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. How many more stories do you need to hear? How much more proof do you need? That's what he's saying. I gave you one list, here's another short list. Do you need any more proof that God is great? That we should be singing that praise, how great thou art, every single day. In verse 39, he said, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. To top it off, each of these people were recipients of promises they never got to see while living. Think about it. God made promises to these people. Did Abraham ever see the promised land? Most of these people never saw the promises fulfilled while they were living. But we know that God is the keeper of the promises. And God did fulfill those promises. And here we sit, You and I have seen all these stories in God's Word, haven't we? We know about Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have all of the promises yet to come that are promised in the New Testament. So why is it so hard for us to have faith to do what God has called us to do? Why do we still doubt? We're a brand conscious people, aren't we? We could divide the room between iPhone users and non-iPhone users, couldn't we? There are some people that are diehard Ford or diehard Honda or diehard Chevy. There are people who are brand conscious. There are some people, I will never buy another shoe, tennis shoe, other than New Balance. It works for me. But for brand conscious people, we sure do overlook the most proven brand of all time. I mean, just take a look at what God has done in your life. Take a look at what God has done in some of the lives of the people around here. I like what the writer of Hebrews says back in verse 6. The writer says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Chew on that for a moment. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And they must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. See, we want to sit by and hope that some kind of magic rains down on us, don't we? We want to sit and wallow in our own pity. We want to sit in our own misery. And we want to say, "Where's God? Send some magic and make everything better, please." And the writer says, God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We have hundreds of blessings and rewards that are promised to us. Read the scriptures about all the promises that God has given us. And here is just some of the promises as told by Peter. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." There's that eternal life guarantee. When we live for God, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's a good promise, isn't it? And he goes on to say, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." We're reading about the last days in Revelation in Sunday school. You should come join us. You see, through our faith, we are shielded from what will happen in the last days of the final judgment. And in verse 6, Peter writes, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Anyone here suffer trials in 2021? But Peter says our trials have a purpose. Verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter says you've got troubles now, but remain faithful, and I promise you, your faith will result in the praise and the glory and the honor of God. Isn't that something? When we endure everything that life has to shove at us, and we can still come here and sing glory to God, it will result in His honor. It will lift Him up. It'll be a great testimony. And in verse 8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Real faith, truly believing without seeing. We can be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because we know in the end we have eternal salvation. And if that is what we can have, how come more people don't have genuine faith in God? You see, we have to remain faithful to our brand, God's brand. I'm not talking about the United Methodist Church. I'm talking about God and God's brand, God's way, God's tools, God's direction, God's vision. See, everything changes when we live by faith. Faith in His brand. Faith that God is who He says He is. Because if we don't have that kind of faith, then we're no different than any other social gathering. There's a lot of great people here, and I love seeing you all. But without God, what are we? We're ill-equipped people who can really do nothing. But through God, we can become equipped to do anything. But we first have to seek God. Today, you have an opportunity to seek God. And not only to seek God, but to find God. We're going to share in Holy Communion. Holy Communion is open to all who earnestly seek God. And I promise you, if you seek God with your heart, you will find God. This would become more than just a time of standing in line and getting a piece of bread and going back to your seat. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ can be present in you. Christ can come to dwell in your heart. And Christ has the power to start changing your life. I don't know about you, but from time to time, I need a good remodel.
Sometimes I need a good cleaning out. Sometimes I need rejuvenation. Sometimes I need to be glued back together. Sometimes I just need to dust off the shelf and start using things again. We need to reclaim the tools that God has given us. But none of the tools that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks mean anything unless you have faith in who God is and faith in the tools that He's given us. And I promise you, God has equipped you in a way that only you can serve Him. The question is, are you ready to receive? Let us prepare our hearts. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I feel the presence of your Holy Spirit working in and among us today. Your Holy Spirit is knocking on the door. And you are looking for people who are ready to open the door. Lord, we know that sin is a barrier that keeps you out of our lives. Lord, we come to you and ask for forgiveness. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for all the tools that we have ignored. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for lacking in faith. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for trusting in the ways of the world instead of the ways of the Creator. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for the things that we have done that you have told us are wrong. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the things that we have not done. Forgive us for the times we have been disobedient. Forgive us for the times that we have shut you out. And Lord, here and now, we spend a few moments of silent reflection so that each may confess their sins to you. Gracious and almighty Father, we know you are a great and forgiving God. You are a loving God that seeks to restore a relationship. Lord, here and now we lay our sins before your Son. Lord, we lay our confessions to you, knowing that you are faithful and just. And Lord, because of your grace and your mercy, we know that today we have been forgiven. Lord, open our hearts to fully receive what you are about to give us today. May your Holy Spirit penetrate us. May your Holy Spirit light a new fire. May your Holy Spirit begin the process of transformation so that we fully may become your tools for this world, so that we may go and make disciples, so that we may go and baptize in your name, so that we may build up your church so that you may be glorified. And all people will know that you are a sovereign and loving God, and that through our faith, we can experience your love, and we can share in final victory and live eternally in your presence. All of this we pray through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. On the night that he was going to be arrested, Jesus was sharing a very important holiday meal. It was a feast of Passover, a celebration of freedom when the Egyptians were given plagues, when death visited all the land, except for those who had the blood, who were covered by God's blood. And as a result, the Israelites were allowed to leave and escape their captivity, freed from their bondage. And in the midst of that celebration, Jesus took a little detour. He says, I'm going to share with you a new freedom. I'm going to share with you a new covenant. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And I can only imagine that the disciples were perplexed. Say, wait a minute, this isn't tradition. What are you talking about? And before they had time to finish that thought, he took this cup. He said, this is the blood of a new covenant. This is a blood given for the gift forgiveness of your sins. This isn't the blood on the doorpost. This is blood for your heart. This is my blood that's going to set you free. My blood that's going to give you freedom from the bondage of sin. So take this cup and drink from this, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that the disciples started to put it all together. And from the very beginning of the first church, they gathered and shared in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did, of the freedom, the forgiveness, and the promises. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we ask that you move among us, that your Holy Spirit acts in a way that these become more for us than just symbols, that they truly become blessed through the presence of your Holy Spirit, so that by our partaking of these elements, that together we become the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, for the transformation of the world. By faith, we receive these elements today This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We just sang about that eternal guarantee, didn't we? Great is His faithfulness. I promise you that if you earnestly seek God, He will begin to work in your life. And if you dare pick up the tools that He has given you, you will share in that power. And He will create you to do things that you never thought were possible. I was a 6-year-old little boy who had to go to speech class because of a stutter. I was an adulterous teenager who ran rampant in college. I was a guy for over 25 years who ran from his calling. Yet we have a God who is gracious enough to allow me to stand here each and every week to tell you about His great love. And I know about His great love because of the great love that He has given to me. I know of His great love and His forgiveness. Because not only has He given it directly to me, He has given it to me through the love and grace of other people. Because I guarantee if it wasn't for faith, grace, and love, my wife and my 3 boys wouldn't be standing here today. It is because of that faith that we share that keeps us bonded together. It's because of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ that will keep us bonded together. And together we can do great things for God. Do you have that kind of faith? I believe in a God who created the world. I believe in a God who gave us His only Son, who overcame death. He destroyed its power. And He lived so that we can live eternally with our Father. Let us go and be people of faith. People that fully trust in God. And no matter what piece of direction we get, we'll just say, "Yes, God, use me to build Your kingdom." Leave here now in full faith in the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Amen.